Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Time for Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Joe Fortunato here, and you can join us over the course of the next hour. The phone number, as it has been for years, 355-NFL1. 800-355-6351. A couple of things to talk about this evening. Obviously, free agency begins next Tuesday at 4 o'clock, but there's now a negotiating window that opens on Saturday, so we're 2 days away.
It's just an acknowledgement that
tampering took place.
Always happens.
Right. Which means they're already negotiating right now.
Right, because everyone's jumping ahead.
I mean, everyone goes ahead. Whatever the rule is, people are cheating it by at least 24 hours.
At
trying
least.
To get an edge.
Besides that, pro days have started around college football as NFL scouts hit the trails. We've got some news from that, obviously, to talk about this evening.
Another mock draft.
Whose?
Brand new one just out today, a couple hours ago, Tom McShay.
Oh, he's got a new one out.
Brand
All right,
new.
So we'll get to that. But let's talk about free agency first, because next Tuesday is the opening of free agency season. 4 o'clock, teams can start signing players to contracts. And I think we've all been pretty frank here. We expect this is going to be an active time for Dave Caldwell.
Sure.
As opposed to a year ago. Here's the question. Is there still a market to be active in? So many players have been hit with tags been re-signed.
It doesn't help that, you know, a couple of the targets that many people thought would be on the Jaguars' radar ended up getting tagged. Greg Hardy and Alex Mack. I mean, those were the two guys that we thought would definitely be, you know, guys that they would certainly take a look at.
Hardy, the defensive end from Carolina.
Tony loved Hardy, and I was a big fan of Mack. And, well, we both liked them both, you know. But it always hurts when you have guys like that come off of the board, so to speak. But the guys that are left are thrilled because their price just went up.
Would you still, for those of you who don't know, Greg Hardy got the franchise tag, which means he's off the marketplace.
By the way, did you hear his reaction? I thought it was beautiful.
$13 million is more than
fired
no million.
Up.
Yeah.
Smart.
Very smart.
Great way to approach it and to sign it. Now it's guaranteed. You know, you can't backtrack.
Now, the other side of the coin is that Alex Mack got hit with the transition tag, which all that does is give Cleveland a week to match the deal. So would you still be interested in going after the top offensive lineman in the marketplace?
Why not?
With $60 million towards your cap?
Why not? Because, I mean, if you end up getting him and he's interested in you and he signs it and it works, there's no compensation to the Cleveland Browns. If you don't get him, the only thing you lose is days in free agency that you couldn't apply that money elsewhere. But this team is so flush with cap space, that doesn't hurt them. You know, it's not like they say, okay, we have to go out and target this guy and get him quick because we only have this amount of money to spend. This team can target four or five guys if they want to.
Jaguars got Cam Bradfield and Sam Young under contract in the last day. So
and,
now you've got
and Clay
four,
Harbor.
And Clay Harbor. But you've got four offensive tackles, but the middle of the line is completely unsettled. So, Tony, how important is it to have the right guy at center? Or is it not? Could you just go find anybody?
No, you can't find anybody, but it's still, I mean, it's important. I mean, listen, the offensive line is.
Would you go after Mack?
Boy, it's investing a lot of money in that center position, but he's a very good player. I agree with Jeff. He is the best, one of the best centers in football. So I would definitely make overtures towards him in finding out what the price is and how high I have to go to get him. I think it's worth investigating it 100%. And I think I got to believe Dave Caldwell has a number in mind that he's willing to pay. And as long as you don't violate that and it fits into your plan, then yes, because he's the best. He's the top three center in the NFL, four center in the
fair.
NFL.
Yeah,
and that's why I think you do go after him.
And here's what Alex Mack said to the USA Today. Quote, "We'll see what happens. It's tough to know. I don't know how teams feel about me. I still have an opportunity to meet with coaches and experience free agency. That's the goal. I like Cleveland. I know it. I like these new coaches. But there are other opportunities out there. You only get to play this game so long. Let's see what else is out there."
No, he's in it. Listen, he wants out. I mean, I'm not saying he wants out, but those comments right there, he's like, listen, I'm going to the highest bidder. Whoever's going to pay me, I'm going. I mean, Cleveland's great. They're nice people. He's smart to say that because if he gets stuck there, he doesn't want to burn the bridges. So he has a little caveat in there that he can always point to. See, I always wanted to come back here. But that's a man saying, I want the most money I can get, which God bless him. But the interesting thing is the history of this franchise, Jacksonville, two of the biggest
1996.
Bullets that were dodged
Quentin
by
Corriott.
The Jaguars dealt with the transition tag.
Quentin Corriott
was the transition tag guy with the Colts.
Alonzo Spellman.
And Spellman with the Bears. Tom tried to sign both of them, had offer sheets signed both of them. The Colts matched. Quentin Corriott was never did ever anything. And
Alonzo Spellman held his publicist hostage in his home on the north side of Chicago.
The Bears matched, and Spellman went crazy. Now, Spellman was a heck of a player.
He had some mental issues.
But I was here at that news conference.
He was a heck of a player.
Where they introduced him.
He was a heck of a player when he had his mind right.
He was a little off.
He was huge.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He was one of the big – I've seen all the big guys come
Oh, he's
through.
Huge.
When you
huge.
Saw him –
He's one of those guys that you lined up across from, and wow. You're like
– Your first reaction is, can you –
This could be a problem.
Sir, can you please pee in a cup?
Right.
No, but seriously.
Huge.
There are certain guys that you'd line up across of, and like, you. I always thought there were certain guys, if like, he knew how good he was, we could have a problem.
You remember in high school when you had a couple of those guys?
Yeah, we could have a problem.
Yeah, but you in high school.
Mainly over on their side.
There was always somebody in high school that developed ahead of everybody
else. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. You know, and then when they lined up across from you, you're like, oh, my God, he's a man. And look at him. He's got a full beard.
Yeah. He's going to play.
I mean, that was kind of the reaction with Spellman lined up across from some people. I mean, because he was just so physically advanced.
Yeah, he was impressive.
So the Jags have used the transition tag in their history, whether Dave Caldwell chooses to do it or not.
But the point is, in one sense, the transition tag bailed out the Jaguars.
Sure, because both of those guys. Corriott, if you remember, got arrested for possession of a gun in the middle of the road in Indianapolis.
Well, listen,
he became a problem, too, and his career was gone.
Both were a problem.
Right.
It was over. I mean, no one remembers, unless you were here, that year they got Leon and Keenan, which were two great free agents. But the ones they wanted, they were lucky they were transitioned.
You left Eddie Robinson off that list.
The big guy, bigger
know,
guy,
kidding.
Yeah. Eddie was a good player, too.
But the reality of it is that the middle of the line seems to be a spot where the Jaguars can attack in free agency. Mm-hmm. And middle,
and usually,
both guards,
and usually
too.
That's reasonable price range. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are out there. There's other guys out there at center. There's a lot of guards. But none of them are the caliber of an Alex Mack. I mean, none of them are Pro Bowl caliber type of players. You know, De La Puente in New Orleans, okay player. The
Dietrich
center
Smith.
In New England, Wendell. I mean, they're good players, you know, capable players, but they're not great
but
players.
But let me ask you this, Jeff. Let's say it costs 12 a year to get Mac plus.
Which it probably will because 10.9 is the transition tag.
No, it would not
tag.
Cost that much.
Okay, let's say 11. Well, 10.9 is the transition tag. Let's say it's 11. Say it's 10, whatever the number. 11, I mean, it's a lot of money. And his guarantee is going to be 50 probably. 40 or 50 million is going to be guaranteed.
Well, that's right along with what the guy in Khalil got in Carolina.
Yeah, and he's ever been as good as Khalil, or if not better. And he has a tag, meaning someone's going to have to pay a little bit more, hoping that
to poison pill the deal.
Well, not necessarily. Let me just clarify this. The team that shows interest in him, they just have to convince the player to sign it.
I understand that, but if you want to assure that Cleveland's not going to match, it has to be a high enough number to make sure Cleveland.
Maybe.
Or front-loaded.
Front-loaded, whatever.
And Cleveland does have cap space.
Yeah, exactly. So my whole point is this. Let's say it's 11 a year. Plus 50 guaranteed. A lot of money.
That's a reasonable expectation.
That's an expectation. Are you better off spreading that money off over three guys?
That's the question.
Three good players, not great, and sure up the middle of that line? Or are you better off getting a center and a guard at maybe $6 million each, which is a good player for the middle of the round, and going drafting a guard in round three?
Let me ask you this.
I'm just saying, so that's why I would limit my price tag what I was going to pay.
Let me ask you this because I've been wondering what your opinion would be on this. Uche Nwaneri was released this week.
Yes.
Surprised?
Not one iota.
Why?
I thought his play the last couple of years had declined. I mean, and I don't think he necessarily fit what they wanted to do. I mean, Uche and I don't watching him. And you and I talked about it. It looked like there was some lower body injury that he couldn't bend the way he used to bend.
It looked like his knee was still bothering him from the surgery that he had.
All those things coupled, then Uche.
But solid player.
But Uche's not a big man.
Well, you wanted a big mauler in there.
He's
didn't
not
you?
A big man when you talk about NFL guards. I'm not saying small, but I mean, the people are listening. Like, what are you talking about? He's a football
player. Well, he certainly doesn't compare to the San Francisco 49ers guards in terms of his height and weight.
So I'm not surprised that they made the change based on, I think, what they would like to do in the interior of that offensive line.
All right, so free agency. It really begins Saturday now as that negotiating window starts, but no one can sign until Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And as we've said, we expect the Jaguars to be active participants early on. All right, when we return here to the HennanyAutos.com studio, Chad Johnson, Senior Vice President for Sales for the Jags, jumps in here, gives us his take on yesterday's announcement about Jaguars 365 when we return to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, you can win a trip for two to the draft in New York City by entering the Everbank Draft Day Sweepstakes. You'll receive round-trip air, hotel accommodations, plus tickets to the draft on May the 8th. Enter and find official rules at everbank.com/draft. Loggeman, Baselli, Sexton, Fortunato, and Chad Johnson.
By the way, I got to get in that drawing so that
you're here with me.
No, but I want to go there and boo the Jets pick.
Just once. That would be a great Jaguars.com thing, as long as Baselli's here and not in London. Where are you going to be on draft day this year?
I'll be here. I mean, I'd love to go to London, but I don't think I'm going to be able to unless somehow I can fly all day because I have my big fundraiser for the foundation on Friday night at the Players.
You want to go to London?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, just throwing it out. I want to be here, right
here with
you,
okay,
or New York.
Booing the pick. Hey, Chad Johnson's here, the Jaguars Senior Vice President of Sales. You've had a busy day and a half here, 2 days since you announced Jaguars 365. So, question number one is, how's it gone? And number two is, what is Jaguars 365?
Yeah, we've had a lot of fans ask, and you can probably hear in my voice. I've lost my voice by talking to so many people today, but it's been amazing the response we've received since we launched things yesterday, and probably is important for people to understand where Jags 365 came from. That's what a lot of fans are asking. And we spent a lot of time last year during the season going through surveys and trying to find out what could we do that's new and exciting. We knew this was the year to launch something big because of the stadium renovations. And doing all those surveys and updates, our fans told us kind of three consistent things. They said, we want to be recognized. We're coming up on our 20th year here with the Jaguars, and a lot of these fans have been here all 20 years.
How many?
A little over 11,000, well, actually.
Good numbers.
Wow. More than most people think, but over 11,000 have been with us since day one. So they wanted recognition. Number two, they wanted a year-round engagement, right? Our fans are listening to you guys all year-round. They're supporting the Jags year-round. So why is it that we only engage them for that 6 or 7 months during the season? So we wanted to do something that's year-round, and that's where the name 365 comes from. And lastly, they wanted choices. In the past, we used to say, even to you, Tony, here's your tickets, here's your benefits, thanks for your check, and we'll talk to you later.
You guys weren't even that nice to me.
Yeah, well, probably not going to change.
You know, it's like, you know, it's right. Like, I'm like, because family, you know, you always treat family like you take family for granted. We all do.
So what you're saying is that they just mail you your invoice.
Oh, the Chad just says, hey, here's your tickets.
I said, well, we're going to add a couple seats to Tony's
A couple of the cabanas on a weekly basis.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
They're good to me, though. Chad takes good care of me.
We try hard here. So we gave our fans chance, our choices, right? And now, instead of me just telling them what benefits they're going to get, they're going to get to pick and choose what's important to them. And say you're a family with a couple kids that are 10 years old, and you're coming for one experience to enjoy together. Or you're a 31-year-old diehard Jags fan that you're just into the team, the players, the coaches. That may be a completely different experience for you or someone like me who's a downtown business person entertaining guests. So now we'll let you pick benefits and experiences that fit what you're trying to do with your group.
Which is outstanding. I mean, as someone who does have season tickets and has, obviously I'm with you guys, but my wife brings all five of our kids. And even with our own family, everyone has, you know, I bring three young girls. I mean, as much as I'm sure they don't care about the football, per se. They're there, but guess who wants to go to the games worse than the boys? Is my girls. They love Jacksonville. They love the cheerleaders. They love the big screen. They love the fact they get on it. They like the atmosphere. The boys are there to eat, hang out with their friends, and watch football. Yeah. And so be able to have different experiences because all the I think we forget sometimes a lot of the fans aren't your, you know, P1. I mean, the diehards or football fans. There's a lot of people that love coming to Jag games because it's a great atmosphere and they want to enjoy the fun.
Well, when you say giving the fans choices, what do you mean by that? What kind of choices?
Yeah, let's talk about Tony's example, a family, right? So we'll have three plans, a family plan, a fanatical fan package, and a corporate or business package. And the family package, how great would it be to go down on the field after the game, play catch with dad, let the kids run around and take pictures with Jacksonville on the field, or do something like
that. That's a terrific idea.
Oh, it's huge.
Or you're a fanatical fan. How about we do a fantasy camp and put them through what our players are going to go through here at training camp, let them learn and feel and experience that, so when they come back out here to watch, they can talk about and feel differently.
I don't want that package. I've done that once before. I don't need to experience the training camp anymore.
So I think given fans, that's the kind of unprecedented access. Or how about a chalk talk with a coach prior to a game to learn about what you're going to see on the field an hour and a half, 2 hours before the game?
I mean, what?
That's unprecedented stuff.
Whoa.
There's people's head spinning.
That's
going to
happen?
That is going to happen.
That's
crazy.
Going to
happen. And, you know, we're lucky. We have great leadership with Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, and they fully understand why we need to deliver this great experience. And just before I came down, Dave Caldwell walks in my office, asks me how the fans are responding to Jags 365. And there's not a lot of teams where the general manager truly understands that part of the business.
That's crazy. I mean, you're talking with a coach before the game and having a chalk talk?
Yeah. So a lot of those experiences are pretty cool.
That's surprising. I mean, because most coaches, you know how they are. They get cross-eyed on game day, and they don't want to have any distraction. That's big.
Well, you know, listen, this is a market that we can do things a little different than other markets have. And you'll see some of that type of stuff in baseball or basketball. You're trying to engage people 40, 80 times a year. Well, why can't we have that same approach here in the NFL and in Jacksonville? I think that's where Jags 365 came from.
All right, so I read the release about how there's a lot of new seating options to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, the pool, field level. There was a couple other options, right?
Yeah, so let's talk about the field seats, right? So for the first time here, we're going to put seats right down in the field behind the benches, and you're going to have that same perspective that our players and coaches have at field level. It's going to be a completely different experience. Not necessarily to say it's a better or worse view than other seats, but it's a completely different view when you see how big these men are down in the field, how fast they are. The cabanas, everyone's calling about the cabanas. They want to know about these swimming pools and cabanas, and what do you mean I can sit at a cabana with my feet in the water and watch an NFL football game?
That's a cool idea.
And we've been explaining to people, you know, how this will work, when we'll launch these.
Can you bring your bathing suit?
You can.
You better bring your bathing suit if you're going in that swimming pool. You may want to bring some sunscreen too. But
I'll bring my Speedo.
How do you get across to the fans what it's going to look like? Because I mean, a lot of this stuff is just starting the process, right?
Yeah. So right now it's in concept, and we're working with a lot of architectural drawings and renderings. And in fact, just today we're starting to put some of that on Jaguars.com. You'll be able to go and look at and see what these cabanas will look like, what the renderings will look like. You'll be able to put your name on a list to be contacted back for more information when they're truly built out and we're starting to sell them. But right now, it's still a little bit of concept, and education is going to be our big key for that.
When you look at this big project, I stuck my head out there today, and all those seats are coming out. It's early March. You got a soccer game here that they announced today. The U.S. team is playing in that send-off series.
Yeah.
How's the timeline for that? How long till people can go stand out there and imagine the cabana as you're talking about it?
So one of the goals of 365, Jags 365, is we're going to give our fans behind-the-scenes access, right? Some hard hat tours, chances to look at that. And now that you can go online and see that live webcam.
That's cool.
And see that things are happening, that really puts a finality to this project. But we're on schedule right now. And when these events come around in the mid to late summer, fans are going to be able to truly see this fully laid out and ready for them.
Phones are ringing today, though, huh?
They are. The response we've had in the first 24 hours of this campaign is unlike anything I've ever seen. This market is calling. Our fans are calling and saying thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us what we asked. And thank you for making this so easy for us. I don't know how many times I've had fans calling to thank me for letting them spend money with us.
Well, Chad, you've been around a lot of different franchises in different
sports.
Yeah.
Chad was with the Marlins.
Yeah, Marlins.
I've been lucky enough to work in all four sports leagues and five different teams and owners, so I've had a lot of exposure to different elements.
But as you've been around, I mean, how many organizations like this under Shad Khan and Mark Lamping have really not only reached out to the fans but are answering the fans? I mean, you guys, I mean, a lot of times you see companies go, okay, we'll listen to our customers, but it's kind of lip service. But actually doing what they are asking for is amazing to me.
I think the only credit we should take for this Jags 365 is, number one, we listened, but number two, most importantly, we acted on it.
That's the big thing.
And if you look in the newspaper and see, this is a close to seven-figure investment Shad Khan's making in the Jags 365. So it's not that we're going out and trying to charge our fans more, because they're not paying a penny more for any of these benefits we're going to get. But he's making a multi six-figure investment to give them the best fan experience and the best value in sports.
You know, for years we've talked about Jacksonville being a small market, having to overachieve, right? And when I think when you look at sports in general these days, every market should be doing this kind of thing. I mean, there is maybe the Yankees, right? But every team in every league has to find new and innovative ways to engage their fans, especially in the multimedia, digital era.
Well, we know that we have to make this experience here better than home, right? We know it has to be so uniquely different, and that's why we're putting in these new boards and all the technology. But more importantly, we have to give them the value to make them want to invest in season tickets. And I think it opened a lot of people's eyes when you even looked at the playoffs and talks about Green Bay Packers potentially not selling out a playoff game. And people all of a sudden going, you know what? It's not automatic anymore.
No, it's not.
You got to work hard to keep the stadium filled every single game.
So in order to participate in 365, you've got to be season ticket owner.
Correct. Right? You have to be a season ticket owner. That's the criteria. Buy season tickets and you're in.
How big was the influence of the Bud Zone in some of this? Because, I mean, every game you see the Bud Zone. I mean, it's just packed. And, you know, where people are gravitating towards other amenities in a stadium besides the seat.
Well, that's a great example of why is it different at home. You're sitting there almost at a sports bar watching a live football game with a crazy atmosphere like that. And the North End Zone, building out some of these unique things, it won't even be unique to Jacksonville. It's unique to sports. There is nowhere in the country that will have products like we will have in the North End Zone. So it will be uniquely different for our fans here.
Hey, just tease the folks now, because Mark Lamping was on, what's the Wednesday web show, Jaguars Live?
Jaguars Live.
Jaguars Live. And he said, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but his comment to the fans who were watching on the web that day was, these boards are going to blow you away. I mean, it's going to give you an experience that you can't comprehend right now.
Yeah.
So to people who are listening who just keep hearing about these boards, what can you tell them that will light that fire in their brain?
First and foremost, 362 feet long. You know, and everyone's talked about Jerry Jones and Cowboy Stadium. Those are 120.
Yeah.
So these are a whole different world. But more importantly, the content we can deliver is going to be unlike anything else. You know, our fans have been screaming for more replays when we look at these surveys. Now they're going to get multi-angle replays. They're going to get content that we haven't been able to deliver, fantasy stats, updates around the league, out-of-town scores. And then more importantly, when you look at just showcasing what goes on in the stadium, the fact that we can add a level of energy that we haven't had here. And I'm tired of hearing about other stadiums, how loud they get. Well, ours is going to be as loud as anywhere now because we have the technology to support it and the technology to get our fans the excitement and the information they need.
All right.
Can we pipe in some noise, too?
There may or may not be some noise.
Yeah, here and there. Hey, can you show up every once in a while in a golf shirt? Just to let us know that you don't wear a tie every minute
Listen,
of every
day. After today, I can barely talk. I've got to get this tie off,
absolutely.
And I think I may go a little bit more casual.
One of the most professional guys in the building, Senior Vice President of Sales, Chad Johnson. Congratulations on the start. Let us know how we can help you along
Thanks,
the
guys.
Way.
Thanks. Appreciate being here.
Time for news on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Well, visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. Get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. Ian Rappaport today. Did you see this tweet?
No.
You follow him at all, NFL Network?
I don't.
Said not to count the Jaguars out. They want to sign Chad Henne, but if they don't get that deal done, don't count them out on Michael Vick, which obviously created a little bit of a firestorm. People saying, whoa, hold on. I think the expectation is that this team will get Chad Henne done.
I don't see any reason why they wouldn't get Chad done. I mean, if Chad wants to be paid well, which he would get paid well here, be a starter, which he would be going into the season, where else are you going to go to get that? I mean, I don't think that he would have that opportunity anywhere else.
Why not sign both of them? Why not sign both of them? Make Michael Vick your starter, Chad the backup, most likely like every other year. Make him compete. Michael's going to get, if he starts, there's a better than equal chance he's going to get hurt.
It's his history.
That's his history. You have a great guy who can come in. Because I don't think I would draft any of these quarterbacks with the third pick. Because I don't think, I think this is a team that has enough other needs and holes. Why not better the roster around them? And I go back to San Francisco and Seattle are the two best teams in the NFL, two best rosters in the NFL, and everyone talks about they have Kaepernick and Russell Wilson. I argue you would not even know who Kaepernick is or Russell Wilson is if they went to another team. I'm not saying they wouldn't be good players down the road, but they're good because they have extreme talent around them. And so why would you go right now and draft – unless you're convinced that Teddy Bridgewater or Blake Bortles or Manziel is Peyton Manning, Luck.
We know they're not, though.
No, but I'm just saying, let's say you are. That's the only way you draft. If you're not and they're a project and it's a hit or miss.
Well, and part of the reason why they're good is that those two quarterbacks don't cost you anything.
Well, but
because that gives you the available money to pay elsewhere.
But I go get better everywhere else and go sign Michael Vick. Excite the fans. People will be pumped. It gives you a little juice back there.
Not all fans. Michael Vick's a little bit of a hot button now.
Is he still?
I don't think he is. He was loved in Philly.
Yeah, but it's Philly. Tony, Philly's different. Ask Joe. Joe, Philly is different.
I think Michael Vick would be loved.
But I think the point that you make that people should start getting through their head is the Jaguars might not have a quarterback this year.
No.
They might not draft one.
And so why not put Michael Vick and Chad Henne on your roster? Compete.
How much would you pay Chad Henne to keep him?
$4 million. Yeah.
You think that'd do it, though? You think he would take $4 million?
I don't think anyone else would give him any more.
Well, there's some other quarterback needy teams out there. If you don't get him done, there might be somebody that drives up.
Someone's going to pay him as a starter?
No, but someone may pay him as a bridge player.
I don't think anybody's going to pay him a starter, including this team.
Okay, but $4 million is like top-end backup money.
Top-end backup, but not starter money.
That's my point. You just said no one's going to pay him starter money.
That's what I'm saying. No, we're in agreement.
Oh, okay. I thought you were arguing with me.
No.
Yeah, I think $4 million gets the deal done.
I guess when you look at the big picture here, I think everyone assumes that the Jaguars don't take a quarterback with the third pick overall. They're definitely taking one at 39, I don't think that's a given.
I don't think so. I'm telling you right now, I've been thinking about this. I can make an argument all day long. I go get a Michael Vick and Chad Henne, let them battle it out, and go draft as many good players, trade down if I could, get more picks, and stack this roster, and then go into next year and see if I can find my quarterback then.
I'm going to go back and say what I said last week. If I was going to draft a quarterback third overall, it'd be Bridgewater.
I agree with that. I said that. I actually wrote a blog for the London Union Jacks guys.
Yeah.
And that's why I said the exact same thing. I'd pick Bridgewater. I wouldn't pick any of them. But if I was going to, Bridgewater's a guy.
You watched some tape today. Mm-hmm. Who'd you like?
I watched Khalil Mack.
Yeah, how do he look on tape?
Kid from Buffalo.
Yeah, he's athletic. You know what he reminds me a little bit of, just athleticism-wise, is Anza. The
Is he long
just
like that?
Just athletic like that. I mean, not quite as long as Anza, but I mean, he's got that kind of length, but not quite as much. But you know how Anza used to be able to bend in certain ways?
Yeah.
I mean, and you can see that Khalil Mack can do some of that. But he's more of a pure linebacker where he played out at Buffalo than really a rush guy.
Did he rush on third
down?
No,
he rushed a lot, but he also dropped a lot.
I think he had 10 sacks last year.
If there was ever a true Leo, I mean, this would be the guy, according to Gus's vision of a Leo, which is a guy that rushes, that drops, that does a little bit of everything, it's Khalil Mack. But when you compare him to Jadeveon Clowney, they're still not close. I mean, Clowney's
on tape, though, they are. I mean, watch it
tape. No, go watch it. Go watch it. They're not close. Clowney is a better player. Better player. Now, but they're kind of different players. I mean, so it's a little bit, you know, apples to oranges a little bit. But, you know, when you watch a guy that there's certain things physically that others can't do, Clowney can still do things
Clowney,
that others just can't do. Now, I did watch D Ford.
The kid from Auburn that made a big show at the Senior Bowl.
Oh, Khalil Mack's way better than him.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah.
But D Ford can rush the passer a little bit.
He's solid.
Yeah.
He's solid, but, I mean, I don't see him as a top half of the first round guy, but he's got a great motor. Looked like he played hurt a little bit last year. He had kind of a knee brace off and on through some of the games this year, but good motor, great effort.
The two guys that intrigue me more than anybody as the third pick is Sammy Watkins or Jadeveon Clowney.
You watch Watkins too.
Watch Watkins.
Those are the two guys from that. I mean, and listen, I'm not a huge. I have concerns about Clowney because the motivation and how he handled last year.
Now, there have been a lot of scouts who said, I wouldn't want to put my job on the line.
Yeah, that worries me. But his freakish ability is hard to pass up. And so I'd probably put Sammy Watkins ahead of Clowney because I think he's just going to be a stud number one receiver.
When
is he A.J. Green good?
No, he's
not.
Because A.J. Green was
the
fourth overall pick in the draft.
I do. He is he can just flat.
He can run.
Take the top off. He's physical. Good hands. Run after catch.
He's got great run after catch. Good hands. But, you know, I remember when Blackman was coming out, and I remember watching Justin Blackman's college tape. And I remember my reaction to you guys was, wow, wait till you see this guy.
He's not as fast. I mean, Sammy Watkins is way faster.
He's faster. But, the body control, it's just a different type of player. I remember watching Justin Blackman, and I came away blown away. And the only thing I said about Justin Blackman is I don't know if he's got taken over the top speed, but he's got everything else, and the guy has the best body control maybe I've ever seen of any human being. With Sammy Watkins, I came away from it saying the guy can run, he can get deep, he's really good after the catch, and he's physical. But I never got wowed with some of the body control like I did with Justin Blackman, but he is a really good player.
Under any circumstances, if you were sitting there at three and Clowney was off the board, would you be interested in either of the offensive tackles?
I wouldn't.
The one I like...
they're both very good players. I wouldn't draft either one.
The one I like...
Because of Pazder?
I like Matthews.
Really? Because most people think Greg Robinson is the
Greg
better
Robinson's a nasty
prospect.
He's a stud.
He's a big guy. He's physical. But, you know, I don't ever think that he ever had to truly pass block at Auburn.
It was different scheme.
Watch the tape of him.
It wasn't
it's different.
He was one-on-one.
Never truly one-on-one.
One-on-one drop back passing, Matthews is more polished. Now, that doesn't mean
Robinson
can't
Matthews
do it. I'd
take Matthews over Robinson.
I wouldn't take either of them. Not because I don't think they're good players. I think they're both good pros. I'm just looking at my needs. And I wouldn't – if there's any area that I don't have a need at right now, it's tackle.
Well, let me throw this out there. If you drafted a tackle – and they play right tackle, Austin Pazder could play guard.
I don't care.
So you would solve the guard issue there.
You would know. Now, basically, you're drafting a guard for the first round. That's what you're doing. The third overall pick, you're drafting a guard.
Drafting a good tackle.
No, you're drafting a guard. You're drafting a guy that because you have a tackle.
You're drafting a tackle and getting a guard.
You have a tackle. I wouldn't. You need a receiver. You need a defensive end. You need a linebacker. You need go down. You need center. You do need a guard. Quarterback is a question. You have a tight end.
There's three guys.
My point is, there's so many needs. Why would you do that?
But there's three guys, though, that are, I think, for this football team that are ahead of those tackles or anybody else. And that's Khalil Mack, Jadeveon Clowney, and Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
So one of the three is going to be
one of those three guys.
Yeah, I agree. I like all three. I wouldn't take a quarterback.
All right, folks. You can go along in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further. We continue towards 7 o'clock. And the conclusion of Jaguars Thursday, live from the HenneyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, this final segment of Jaguars Thursday brought to you by Fanatics.com. So let's pose the question to you guys. Jags are sitting at three. They can't trade back. They have the choice of either Khalil Mack from Buffalo, the pass rusher, by the way, is from Fort Pierce, or Sammy Watkins, the receiver from Clemson. Clowney is gone. He's gone. Forget the quarterbacks.
You got to.
Who do you take? You got to take one of those two.
One of those two guys.
One of those two.
That's a great question.
Pass rusher or the pass receiver?
I would probably take Sammy Watkins just because Khalil Mack played at Buffalo. You know, and so it's probably more of a sure thing.
Andre Ware played at Troy.
No, I know. I know.
It's pretty good.
DeMarcus Ware.
Him too.
Andre Ware played at Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
And played quarterback.
Either way.
Yeah, whatever.
But you got a guy that played at Clemson, played against, you know, some premier talent. He's got run after the catch. He's got good hands. He's got good speed. You know, and sooner or later you're going to have to draft a quarterback, whether it be this year and later rounds. And when you do finally get that piece, you know, you'd like to have some weapons for him. And you may not have Justin Blackman. So, Sammy Watkins, but I mean, I'd almost put him dead even.
How about you?
Sammy Watkins, easy.
Easy, so not even?
No, you need weapons.
Okay.
Now, Khalil Mack's a very good player. I mean, if they pick him, I'm fine with it. I mean, I'm just saying – you have to have more weapons offensively. I mean, we forget. Now, they won 4 of 8 at the end. But, I mean, remember, there was several games within the first eight, we'd look at each other in the booth and say, are they going to break the all-time record of least yards? I mean, it was like you couldn't move the ball.
Right. And right now you don't know what your running game is going to be.
I mean, and so you have to have weapons. This in this league, you got to have guys who can win one-on-one.
But free agency is going to have something to do with that too.
Who, Jeff? Who is the receiver?
I'm not pointing anybody out in particular, but I'm saying is that, you know, when you're trying to build a team, I mean, as a general manager, you got to have a vision. And then,
I agree with that.
You know, and David has admitted that, you know, he's been he believes in a needs-based kind of draft where you get guys that are fairly even, you take the need that
you
have.
So your point
is
if they sign someone to free agency, it might change that.
Maybe.
I agree. But I don't know what receivers are out there in free
agency.
I'll give
them to you.
Give me the receivers. I think there's more pass rushers available than receivers.
Okay, here you go. Eric Decker from Denver. James Jones from Green Bay. Then it falls off.
I like James Jones.
Yeah, he's a good player. Julian Edelman from New England. Golden Tate from Seattle.
I like Golden Tate.
Hakeem Nicks from the Giants.
Hakeem Nicks, he's a guy that's intriguing, but he's always hurt.
You know, then it starts falling. Emmanuel Sanders from Pittsburgh. Jacoby Jones from Baltimore.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Roberts from Arizona.
That's the number one guy. I go get him before anyone else.
27 years old.
Oh, Emmanuel Sanders, he can fly. He's a very good receiver.
You know, then you start falling into the Sidney Rices and Kenny Britts and Ted Ginn Jr.
So if you get Emmanuel Sanders or...
See, I could change your thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. Then I go Khalil Mack. I agree with that 100%. So I was wrong. I mean, I didn't realize all those guys were
free.
Whoa,
say that again?
I was wrong.
Are you taping this?
It happens once.
Every once in a while. Once every 4 or 5 minutes.
Once every 6 months.
Any interest at all in Hakeem Nicks?
Yeah, that's what I just said. Hakeem Nicks is intriguing to me.
Okay.
Health?
Health is a question
mark.
Yeah.
Let's talk about pass rushers for just a moment in free agency because there are some intriguing names out there. Well, I mean, Greg Hardy's obviously off there, but Michael Johnson from Cincinnati.
Three sacks last year. He's a run stopper.
Well, he's a good player.
Michael Bennett from Seattle's name has been bandied about.
He's going to get overpaid more than any player in the all free agency.
I liked
good
him.
For him.
I liked him when he was in Tampa Bay and he was free then.
You liked him for $1 million. That's what Seattle got him for. You like him for $9 million?
No. I'm saying I liked him when he was leaving Tampa, and I was hoping that they would get him here.
My point is this, though, because he was going to be about $1 to $2 million. Do you like him for $9 million as a franchise pass rusher?
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. I think Michael Bennett is a good player.
He's not a franchise guy.
He plays really hard, and in that system, he's outstanding.
And he's flexible, play in and out.
Yeah, and they roll people at you. Now, is he the guy that you can count on for 60 snaps, rush of the passer? I don't know. Maybe. But he's going to get paid a lot of money. And how old is Michael Bennett?
Well, everybody in free agency is going to get paid a lot of money.
Well, not everybody.
How old is who?
Michael Bennett, 28, 29. Yeah. So, I mean, he's intriguing because I like how hard he plays.
And they know him. You know, Todd Walsh, the D-line coach, has had him
in Tampa
and in Seattle.
No, he was brand new to Seattle this year.
That's right.
Just Tampa.
Yep.
But in Tampa they did.
Now, here's another name.
There's other guys.
Gus had him.
In Tampa.
In Tampa.
Yeah. Long time ago.
No, I don't think he was.
I don't think Gus was there.
Just real quick.
I just was agreeing with you to go with it.
Word out of Dallas is DeMarcus Ware is not going to take a big pay cut. They're counting on him to do that. Would you have any interest in going and swinging at that?
Heck, yeah.
30 years old, he really slowed down. And
he's had some injuries, yeah.
Was Remember, his whole career until last year, he played 3-4 outside backer.
Yeah, and see,
was not a great 4-3 D end.
No, but as a Leo,
pretty athletic.
Does 30 stand up? 30 years old scare you away?
Yes, it does. But a lot of good pass rushers.
John Abraham.
Can do it into 33, 34.
Yeah, Abraham was 34 this year.
You know the funny thing is? You want to know the real funny thing about the whole thing? He'll probably be cheaper than Michael Bennett.
Yes, because of age.
How about that? DeMarcus
Ware. So you just answered your own question.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You take him.
I'd be very interested.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If that happens.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Dallas is fighting to get under the cap and have some room to play a little bit. The only way they're going to get that done is if he takes a major pay cut.
Yeah, how about being Dallas? I mean, you are the most mediocre team since 1996. You're 8-8 every year. You're not very good, and you're over the cap.
They were way over the cap.
what a disaster.
And they got the additional bounce from the cap
disaster.
Jumping 5%.
Fire the general manager.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the owner too.
That's not hardly going to happen. So, okay, well, by the time we get back into the studio next week, Jaguars should have signed somebody.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know. You know, free agency used to be, you know, the barn doors would fly open, you know, for most teams, where all of a sudden deals were getting done right at midnight when that free agency period started, you know. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm sure that something will happen early.
I was going to say, if the way that this thing has gone with guys getting tagged and signed, you got to identify your guy and go
get
it.
Well, free agency's changed a little bit. A lot of times you give guys take it or leave it deals, and you get it done for not just, you know, up through the roof deals.
All right, we'll find out. Tony, Jeff, thanks so much. Joe, appreciate you. Have a great night, everybody.